The reading is written in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 5, and can be found on page 975 in the Church Bibles. Matthew, chapter 10, verse 5. Jesus sends out the 12. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles, or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. As man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In 2019, just before lockdown, I had the privilege of travelling to Bangladesh to go to a youth conference with some of the young people who support Open Doors. Now, in theory, Bangladesh is a secular country, but it has a majority Muslim population. And if somebody converts to Christianity, the shame and dishonour it brings on their family is immense. Many of these young people had had to lie about where they were going at this conference. While I was there, I met a woman called Gauss, who I would guess is probably in her late 30s, early 40s. Gauss told me, she was from a Muslim family, she told me that when her mother and sisters had discovered that she had got married to her husband in a Christian church, they had tied her by her hair, she had long black hair, they had tied her by her hair to the veranda at the family home, and they had beaten her with bamboo sticks. They beat her so badly that she could not stand. And her father came out to see what all the commotion was about. And he said, he couldn't bear to see her in so much pain. He said, why don't you just kill her? Don't keep beating her. And finally, in fact, it was her father who saved her. He went into the kitchen. He pulled a kitchen knife out of the drawer. He came out to the veranda and he cut her hair off at the nape of her neck and set her free. She was so badly hurt, she couldn't walk, and it was several days resting in her parents' home before she was able to escape. Gauss and her husband now run a Bible school in Bangladesh, and they also run a safe house for other people who have had to flee their families because of conversion. She also runs a tailoring school for Christian women who need a livelihood. In the passage we've just had so beautifully read, Jesus told the disciples, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. I will set mother against daughter, father against son. A person's own enemies will be the member of their own household. I've always wondered what Jesus meant by that. But now I've been to Bangladesh, I know. After she'd told me her story, Gauss said to me, you can take anything away from me, but not my religion, not my faith. It is extraordinary in the light of the opposition that our brothers and sisters face that they cling to their faith. They're constantly told the persecution will stop if you will just give up Jesus. But they don't. They cling to him. They have found the pearl of great price. And they're not going to give him up. What Jesus said in this passage was truly prophetic. He told the disciples what the task was. He also told them what the consequences of following him would be. 2022 years later, we still see all of that going on around the world where our brothers and sisters are worshipping Jesus. We see government oppression. We see arrests. We see imprisonment. We see families turned against each other. We see sexual violence. We see religious extremism. We see nationalist extremism. We see religious nationalism. We see all of it, everything Jesus said then to the disciples, we see now. And I wonder what the disciples made of it. They'd been with Jesus a year or so. They'd seen him doing these amazing things. My guess is they were dying to crack on. Come on, Lord, send us out. Let's do the stuff. And Jesus took his time to warn them. And he equipped them. This was not just an inaugural send-off. This passage is an induction and a training. And today, you're launching your new centre. And I think it's just fantastic that the Lord gave you the vision for this. He's given you the resources to build the centre. It's really fantastic, David. So impressive. And I bet you're all dying to get going. Praise God. I want to share three thoughts with you from this passage. As you get going, lessons from what Jesus said and from what we have discovered from our persecuted brothers and sisters. Okay, the first, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. This is true for every single one of us that Jesus sends out. We're like sheep among wolves. Praise God, in the UK, the wolves are not nearly as bad. Nowhere close to what our brothers and sisters see. The wolves will be different for all of us. But Jesus was very clear. He faced opposition, and so will we. And the thing about sheep is they're defenseless. You know, you don't see sheep going off to the gym, strengthening up, doing weapons training so they can fight off the wolves. No, they're completely defenseless. And these wolves are coming at them. So we know that the wolves tear the sheep to pieces. In some places, that is literally true. That is literally what's happening to our brothers and sisters. The sheep are powerless, totally defensive. Who or what protects them? The shepherd. The only defense the sheep have is the shepherd. So point number one, stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to Jesus. I sometimes think that the people who persecute the church understand much more than we do the weapons as Christians that we have at our disposal. So, for example, the Bible. Brother Andrew set up Open Doors back in the 1950s when he felt called by God to smuggle Bibles behind the Iron Curtain to the Christians who were being oppressed by communism. He knew, as the Bible tells us, that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is absolutely critical. And so he smuggled Bibles, and there are some totally amazing stories about how he did that in his book, God's Smuggler. It's a great read. I recommend it. Today in China, we see a communist government that since 2018 has eradicated the opportunity to buy the Bible online. They've removed all the Christian and Bible apps from the internet. It's now very, very difficult for Chinese Christians to get hold of the Word of God, to get hold of Bibles. That's happening right now in 2022. I heard a story the other day about a gang leader in China who was in prison. And in prison, he became a Christian. And he had a Bible. And Bibles are like gold dust there now. And one day, the guards came to confiscate his Bible. And he defended his Bible so vigorously that the guards beat him. And they beat him to death. China in 2022. How many Bibles do all of us have in our homes? Are we reading them? Please, read the Bible. Stay close to the shepherd. Read the Bible and practice all the other wonderful freedoms that we have in this country that our brothers and sisters don't have. Meet together, pray together, encourage each other, build one another up. These are the things that help us stay close to the shepherd. Secondly, stay on mission. Very clear from this passage, there is one overriding task, and that is to proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. We proclaim that in word and in actions. And Jesus was very clear with the disciples what he wanted them to do. And I don't know actually what your plans are for the centre, but I'm pretty sure the Lord will have given you a plan and be pretty clear what he wants you to do. But the overriding task is to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. Why is that so important? Well, here's the thing about a kingdom. You can only have a kingdom if you have a king. And the kingdom of heaven is near because the king is present. You know, it's lovely to light the Advent candle and to see that Christmas is coming. And I love all the gospel stories about Christmas and that wonderful bit where the angel comes to Joseph and says, look, it's okay to marry Mary. You know, she's not been a naughty girl. This is the Lord. He's got a plan. This is the Lord's plan. And he reminds Joseph of the prophecy from Isaiah. The virgin will give birth to a boy. And you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is with us. The kingdom of heaven is near because the king is present. That's the task, to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. And it's an absolute game changer. I have a wonderful sister called Haewoo, who is from North Korea. Now, some of you may have met Haewoo or heard her speak. She's about this high. She's like a tiny stick of spiritual dynamite. I have never seen so much love and faith in one small person in the way I've seen in Haewoo. North Korea has been the most dangerous country for many years. For Christians, it's illegal to worship anyone apart from the supreme leader, Kim Jong-un, and his forebears. If you are found with the Bible, if you are heard talking about Jesus, not only will you be imprisoned, but your whole family will be imprisoned with you. We think there are about 400,000 Christians in North Korea, and 70,000 of them, 70,000 of them, are in internment camps where they experience starvation, forced labor, torture, and forced re-education to try to get them to renounce Jesus. Now, Haewoo's husband was a Christian, and he was executed. And she escaped to China. But the North Korean secret police came after her, and they repatriated her, and she was placed in one of these internment camps. With enormous courage, Haewoo began to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near inside the internment camp. She knew Jesus was with her. And so she started to share her tiny portion of rice with the other inmates. And she started to wash their clothes. And over time, she was able to talk to them about Jesus. I mean, at massive risk to herself. And five of them became Christians. Haewoo said to me that while she was in the camp, the Lord really spoke to her about seizing her opportunities. And he would say things like, when there's a storm outside, rejoice, because you can go outside and worship at the top of your voice and nobody will hear you. But it was so dangerous for them to worship together that they met together in the toilets, because the toilets were so disgusting, it was the one place where the guards would not go. Haewoo was able to proclaim the kingdom in one of the most dark, oppressive, dangerous, hopeless places on the planet. How could she do that? Well, she could do it because it's true. Because even there, the kingdom of heaven is near. Because Jesus is with us. God is with us. Emmanuel. So, stay close to the shepherd. Proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. And finally, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Shrewd as snakes. Doesn't really sound that Christian, does it? Doesn't really sound that nice, actually. But think about Jesus. Think about what he did. I love the way he answered the Pharisees' questions. You know, what are you going to do about tax? Well, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Render to God what is God's. The woman caught in adultery. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. These weren't just shrewd answers. I think they were positively cunning. And that's our Lord. And we're made in his image. He's creator God. He's the fount of all wisdom. He's shrewd. We can be shrewd as well. You know, Chinese Christians, one of the amazing things about them is they're always ahead of the game. Whatever Xi Jinping and his government are trying to do to close down churches and imprison pastors and get people to renounce their faith, our brothers and sisters are always just a little bit ahead of them. So we know that surveillance is a big problem, digital surveillance, being listened in through your mobile phone, facial recognition technology and so on. So when they meet together, they put their mobile phones in the microwave. Nobody can hear them. When the churches were closed in 2018, they recorded the pastor's messages and walked around the streets in small groups of six to eight of them and shared the message that way. and just walked around praying together, talking together. Shrewd. Shrewd as snakes. And what about innocent as doves? Well, if one thing's true, there's not a single person in this room who's innocent. All of us have messed up. All of us have got it wrong. The only way we can be innocent is because of what Jesus did on the cross. So Jesus paid the price for our mess ups on the cross. And through faith in him, we're washed completely clean. We are, in fact, innocent because of Jesus. We owe him everything. Everything is a gift from him. And Jesus said to us, if you love me, you will obey my commands. I think what he was saying to the disciples here is, do my work my way. Be shrewd as snakes and be innocent. Do it my way. Obey my commands. One of the things that totally blows me away and really amazed me when I first travelled with Open Doors was how our persecuted brothers and sisters don't retaliate. So they experience these horrific attacks. You know, my first trip was to Egypt, and some of the local community were so keen to stop Christians establishing a church in their village that they went into 10 Christian homes and destroyed all the electrical equipment, just smashed it all up in these 10 Christian homes to try to intimidate the Christians. The Christians were praying for them. You know, they were not fighting back. They were praying for them. They forgave them. I heard a story of a man in northern Nigeria where he was a Muslim. In northern Nigeria and the Middle Belt, Islamic extremists like Boko Haram are systematically coming and attacking pastors, burning down churches, killing Christians, abducting and raping women. There's a systematic attempt to destroy the church across North Nigeria, Middle Belt, West Africa. So this was a man, Muslim man, in northern Nigeria. And he had seen the way Boko Haram came and burnt churches and set off bombs and killed people. And he watched the way the Christians responded. And he could not believe that he never once heard a Christian talking about fighting back. Not once. And to his amazement, he couldn't get over this. They were praying for the people who had persecuted them. This guy was like, who are these people? Who are these people? And he started to sneak in at the back of church to find out what was going on. And after a year or so of this, he was totally convinced that Jesus is the way. And he became a Christian. And of course, at that point, when he became a Christian, he himself had to flee from the village because he would have experienced a lot of violence from his neighbours and family if they'd known. I really praise God for your vision for the centre, for what he's going to do through you in that centre, for providing the resources you've needed to build it. We're so grateful. Thank you for your generosity in tithing to Open Doors so we can support our persecuted church family from the money you've raised. We really appreciate it, and we will use it well. I can promise you that. May God bless you. And as you move forward from here, may you stay close to the shepherd. May you proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. And may you do God's work, God's way. Amen.